The fifth parak starts out with Mishnah Aleph, which discusses somebody who wants to engage in activities on Shabbos or Yom Tov that will require some effort. It will require a tircha, but it is shelo letzorach, but it is not for the need of Yom Tov or Shabbos. In other words, he's going to put in an effort today, but he's only going to benefit from that effort after Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that is typically prohibited unless there is a financial loss that is going to be avoided by putting in the effort. So as we will see now, we're going to talk initially about somebody who is drying fruits out on his roof, and it is about to rain, and he has to get those fruits into his house in order to save them. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mashilin Peiros, Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov. It's permitted to drop those fruits through his skylight that's on the roof on Yontif. That's not a huge effort, and it's avoiding the financial loss of having those fruits destroyed by the rain. Avalob Shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, we are more machmir, so we couldn't even put in that effort to save the fruits. However, the Mishnah continues now with certain activities that even though it is a tircha and it's going to be on Shabbos or Yontif, it would be permitted. We're going to read the Mishnah like the Rosh as follows. Umechasin peiros bekeli mipnei hadelef. If somebody has a delef, which is a drip, for example, there is a leak coming from the roof and he has some fruits that are going to be destroyed, it's permitted to cover up those fruits. Bekelim. Kelim literally means vessels, but it also means clothing. It can mean sheets or tarps or whatever that is going to protect that fruit from the drip, from the leak that is coming from the roof. It's also permitted to cover up if you have open pitchers of wine or open pitchers of oil that will get ruined from rain or from a leak. Also, it's permitted to cover them up. And if you have a leak coming in, you're also permitted to put a utensil, a bowl, whatever it may be, to collect that rainwater, the leak that's coming in order so it doesn't ruin your house. There are some poskim or machmir that if that water coming in that you want to collect in that bucket is not usable, in other words, it can't be drunk or you can't wash your face with it or something, then it's muksa. However, some poskim are even lenient in that regard and would even permit when the bucket fills up that you can dump it outside. Careful not to dump it on growing plants, but you can dump it outside and then have it refilled and do accordingly, dumping it outside. So there are poskim that are lenient in that regard. Also, very halacha lemaisa situation nowadays, if there's a big storm and you have a leak coming in through the roof, it's permitted to put then a bucket under certain situations, obviously as a psak first, but based on this Mishnah, at least you'd be able to put a bucket underneath to save the house from being damaged. Mishnah Beis is a very fundamental Mishnah that we learn a lot of halacha lemaisa from. The Mishnah says as follows, Kol shechayavin ala mishum shvus, everything that we are prohibited from doing, and we're going to see it's either Shabbos or Yontif, because Chazal instituted a decree that there's an Isser Durabana, and they had a concern that we may come to violate an Isser Duraisa, so they instituted an Isser Durabana to not do certain activities that we otherwise we could do on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's category number one. Also, anything that Chazal instituted, Mishum Ashus, that is a voluntary activity. The Gemara explains that this is talking about activities that have some component of a mitzvah involved. It's not a full mitzvah, but it has a component of a mitzvah. But Chazal decreed, don't do that as well on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And number three, Mishum Mitzvah, B'Shabbos, and anything that Chazal institute also, don't do certain types of activities that are otherwise mitzvahs. If they decreed that on Shabbos, we were also chayavin ala b'yom tov. We are also obligated to not do any of the activities that fall into those three categories that were prohibited by Chazal. So now we're going to go through each of those categories. What are examples of things that Chazal instituted in Isser D'Rabbanan that are considered a shvus? Things that, number two, Chazal then instituted that would be a reshus, and the ones that are a mitzvah, that's category number three, but Chazal still instituted not to do them on Shabbos, and by extension on Yom Tov as well. Here we go, category number one, Ve'elu hen mishum shvus, these are the activities that Chazal prohibited, and they instituted a decree that's called a shvus, in Isser D'Rabbanan, lo olin ba'ilan, they said don't climb a tree. Chazal's concern is you may come to violate an Isser D'Oraisa, tearing off a branch or a fruit. V'lo roch fin agabe behema, also don't ride an animal. The concern was that you may tear off a branch from a tree to use as a whip to go down that animal. V'lo shatin al pnei amayim, also don't swim on Shabbos because you may come to to make a raft. So that would be the Isser D'oraisa. V'lo metabchim, also don't clap. V'lo mesapkim, don't slap your hand on your thigh. V'lo meraktin, don't dance. These last three are a concern. If you're clapping, if you're slapping against your thigh, if you're dancing, you may come to fix an instrument that broke. You may come to play. You may fix the instrument. Your guitar string snapped, and you may come to fix it. So Chazal say we want to distance ourselves from that concern. This is heavily discussed by the postgame. Nowadays, can we clap? Can we stamp on the? Can we clap on the table? Are we permitted to dance? What are the forms that were permitted? Nowadays, we don't know how to fix instruments anyway. So does this decree still apply? Though that is an extensive machlokis in the poskim. Okay, that's category number one. Things that Chazal prohibited just because of a shvus. They were concerned we may come to violate an Isser D'oraisa. Category number two. Ve'elu hen mishum reshus. These are the areas that Chazal legislated that there are activities that you could do on Shabbos. It even has a component of a mitzvah. It's not fully of a mitzvah, but they said, don't do it because we have a concern. What are they? Lo danim. We don't hold cases in front of a beis din. We don't adjudicate litigations. V'lo mikadshin. We also do not mikadish betroth women. V'lo cholting. We don't do chalitzas. We don't do v'lo miyabim. We don't do yibum. Why? So the concern on all of these four is that if we're in a case in a court, kiddushin, chalitza, yibum, we may come to write. That's the concern. We may come to write an agreement. The beis din, if they're adjudicating, may come to write their psak down. We may come to write a marriage document if we're doing kiddushin or chalitza or yibum, all different concerns of writing things. So Chazal said, even though these have aspects of mitzvah, don't do it on Shabbos and by extension on Yontif. And number three, ve'elu hen mishum mitzvah. And these are the activities that Chazal prohibited, even though they're mitzvahs. Lo makdishin. Makdishin, don't donate an item to the base of Mikdash, to make it Hekdesh. V'lo ma'arichin, also don't make a vow that somebody will donate the value of somebody else. I vow that I will give the erech of Yoni to the base of Mikdash. Don't make that vow on Shabbos or Yontif. V'lo ma'achrimin, also don't make a commitment or dedicate something to the base of Mikdash or to the Kohanim. And all of those were concerned because they all look like doing business transactions, because in all of them, the ownership of something, be it money or be it the object, is transferring from somebody, or a commitment to transfer from somebody to the Beis HaMikdash to somebody else. That would fall under the prohibition of doing business. So it looks like you're doing a business transaction. So Chazal said, don't do any of those activities. And in addition, v'lo magbin truma meiser. Also don't, if you have produce that you didn't take off truma or meiser before Shabbos or Yontif, you cannot do that on Shabbos and Yontif. That resembles tikkun kli. It resembles that you are repairing an item because you are repairing this fruit because it cannot be eaten. Otherwise, the fruit or produce, vegetables, because it cannot be eaten without taking the chumas and maizos. Now, the Mishnah concludes as follows. Ko elu be'yom tovarmu. In fact, when we're reading this Mishnah, Chazal instituted all these prohibitions when it came to Yontif, not Shabbos, and then Kal V'chomer b'Shabbos. Kal V'chomer, you have to be careful, and these violations, the prohibitions apply in Shabbos also. What's going on here is we started out the Mishnah by saying these prohibitions apply in Shabbos, Kal V'chomer b'Yontif, and now we're saying these apply in Yontif, Kal V'chomer b'Shabbos. What we're being told here is that there's certain things that Chazal instituted because of Yontif. When it was instituted because of Yontif, we have to apply it to Shabbos, and if Chazal instituted a prohibition because of Shabbos, it applies to Yontif as well. And then the Mishnah concludes, Ein Bein Yontif L'Shabbos. There's no difference in the halachas when it comes to Yontif and Shabbos. Ela Ochel Nefesh Bilvad. The whole difference based on the Pasuk is that the Torah permits malacha that is otherwise prohibited on Shabbos, but on Yontif you can do malachas or some malachas that are required to be involved in food preparation. So that's the big difference between them. Just a little statement here on this. This is, in fact, according to Beis Shammai, that Beis Shammai has a very limited view of the tzorech ochel nefesh, that you are literally only permitted to do things that are for the need of food preparation. Beit Hillel expands that concept, and we have talked about it in the Pach Mitoch, that certain things, because certain malachas are permitted to do for food preparation, Beis Hillel expands that to other areas as well. For example, Hotza'ah, carrying. It's not only that you can carry food outside in a public area in Yantif because you need the food, but Hotza'ah is more, is permitted more than that. If you needed Litzarach Moy, Litzarach Mitzvah, Beis Hillel is lenient also. And also Havara, setting of, transferring a fire, Beis Shammai limits that, strictly speaking, to the Tzorach Ochel Nefesh for food preparation. And Beis Hillel has a more expansive view. For example, if you want to heat up an area for yourself, you want to heat up area to wash your face, Beis Hillel is lenient on that also. So it's not strictly Litzorech Ochel Nefesh according to Beis Hillel. Mishnah Gimel, and through the end of the parak, we talk about the application of Erev Tchumim on Yantif. So just a little bit background, Erev Tchumim, which is discussed in detail in Masechet Eruvin. The concept here is that when it comes to Shabbos, somebody is only permitted to walk 2,000 amas from where his residence is at the beginning of Shabbos. So accordingly, if somebody is out in the desert, he has a circumference of 2,000 amas around him. If he's sitting in a building in the middle of nowhere, he has from the outside of the building 2,000 amas. And if he's in a city, he has 2,000 amas from the outskirts of the city. So from the city limit, he has 2,000 in addition in each direction in circumference around the city. Now, there is a way to change that, that if a person has to go, for example, 3,000 amas in a given direction on Shabbos, and he's only permitted 2,000 as the default, he can change that on Erev Shabbos, or the same applies Erev Yontif, by setting up what's called an Erev Tchumim. And what that is he puts out food in the place that he wants it to be his new settling place, where his residence will be at the beginning of Shabbos and Yontif. That's where the food is. So in other words, if he wants to go 3,000 amos in one direction from the city, and he's only permitted without the Erev Tchumim to go 2,000 amos, he's going to go at the end of 1,000 amos out of the city, he's going to set up his food there, two meals worth, and that is going to be his residence. He's going to leave the food there. He can go back before Shabbos, but that is where his tchum is going to be measured from. So he's going to be able to go from that 1,000 amos in the direction he wants to go outside of the city, an additional 2,000 amos from where his food is. But what that does is, the result is, it takes the additional 1,000 amos away from the other direction. So in other words, now if he can go 3,000 in one direction, he can only go 1,000 in the opposite direction. In Mishnah Gimel, what we're going to learn about initially is that this applies not only to a person, that a person is bounded by this concept of 2,000 amos, the tchum Shabbos, tchum Yontif around the city, but also his items, his possessions, his animals have the same restrictions, but not based on where they are, but based where on their owner is. So the Mishnah says as follows: Habehema, somebody owns an animal. Vahakelim, if he owns vessels, whatever they may be. The keragle habalim, they are just like the feet of the balim. In other words, wherever the tchum of the bal is, that's where the tchum of his possessions is going to be. If somebody is in a city and he can only go 2,000 amos around the city, that's the default tchum, so too his items cannot go longer. In other words, if somebody else made a tchum to go outside the city, that other person cannot take. If A, it can only have a tchum around the city of 2,000 amos, B, who set up an alternative tchum, for example, to go 3,000 amos in one direction, the items of A are limited to where A can be, and B cannot take them with him. Continuing. Hamoser behem to livno oleroa. If somebody gives over, for example, in the middle of Yontif, he hands over his animal to his child or to a shepherd, say, please watch these, because he's only handing them over in the middle of Yontif, at the beginning of Yontif, if he did not anticipate giving them to his son or to the roa, harei elu keragle habalim, they will have to stick with the owner's tchum. In other words, if the son had a different tchum, or if the roa, the shepherd, had a different tchum, that son or the roa cannot take those animals to their own tchum outside of the tchum of the animal, because that animal was, at the beginning of Yontif, only considered to be part of the tchum of its owner. And continuing, kelim hamyuchadim le'achad min ha'achim shebabayis. If we have, the situation here is we have a bunch of brothers, and they receive an inheritance, and one of the items is used, it's designated specifically to one of the brothers. So if we have kelim, as we said, kelim hamyuchadim, as they're designated, le'achad min ha'achim shebabayis, if it's designated to one of the brothers that are living together in the house, even though legally it'd be considered owned by all, but because it's designated to that one, he's the only one who uses it, at the beginning of Shabbos and Yontif, everyone knew that he'd be the one using it. Hare Elu Keraglav. They are considered his for the purposes of Tchum Shabbos, Tchum Yontif, and he is allowed to take it based on his own Tchum, even if it's different from his brothers. V'she'ein miyuchadin. However, if we have items, if we have assets that were owned by inheritance by a number of brothers, and they have not been designated to any one of the brothers in specific, in other words, they're owned equally, and anyone may come to use it on Shabbos and Yontif. Hare Elu Kamakom Shehochim. They are like, literally, the brothers as they brothers to can go. In other words, it's subject to the restrictions of all the brothers together. So it has to be that every single brother can walk around with it in his area. In other words, if there are conflicting areas, we cannot be lenient and go to an area where A can be and B cannot go. We have to be able that all the brothers, it's only in their concentric areas that each of them overlaps and can go to. So we're strict that we adhere to all of their tchumim, even if it's a very limited area. Mishnah Dalet continues talking about the Erev Tchumim and how does this concept apply when people borrow and lend items during Yontif or before Yontif. So the Mishnah says as follows, Hashoel kli mechaveru me'erev Yontif. If you borrow someone, A, borrow something from B on Erev Yontif, so whose Tchum do we use? Keragle Hashoa, we use the tchum of the borrower. So we use A because it was in A's possession already when Yontif began. However, B'yom Tov, if A borrowed from B on Yontif itself, in other words, it was in B's possession still when Yontif began and A only borrowed it on Yontif itself. Keragle Amashil, it goes by the lender. In other words, it goes by B. Based on this, borrower and lender, it's always going to go by the person who had the possession of the item when Yontif began. There will be exceptions to that, but that's going to be our default. Aisha Shashala Mechaverta Tavlin Omayim Melech Lisasa. If we have a woman who borrowed from her friend, so we have A borrowing from B, spices and water and salt, and she used those ingredients, Lisasa, to include in her dough. So now we have a dough baked on Yontif, and it's been combined of the ingredients of A and B, Hare Elu Karagle Shtei, and it goes after the tchum of each of them. In other words, we have to be machmir for both of them, that each of them are able to go in an area. So it's only the area that overlaps in their tchumim that now that dough can be brought to. Continuing, Rabbi Yehuda Poter B'mayim, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees when it comes to water, Mibnei She'ein Behen Mamish, because it has no substance. In other words, once that water has been added into that dough, you can no longer see that water. So that water does not have any limitations. It can be based on the recipient who has that water. It has no limitation. It can be brought in either of the tchumim. It's not limited to one or the other. And here we're just talking about salt that can still be seen. Salt otherwise would be treated the same. If it has no mamish, if it's been totally included in the dough and can't be seen, it's now invisible. That would have the same concept according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it would have no mamish. It has no substance. And accordingly, we don't have to consider it when limiting where this dough can be brought to. Mishnah Hay starts out by comparing coal versus a flame as it relates to Erev Tchumim, and then it follows on by comparing coal versus a flame in two other areas of Halacha. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Hay, Hagacheles, we have a piece of coal, that is something that has physical substance to it. When it comes to the tchum, kiragle habalim, it is just like the owner of that coal, whoever owned it coming into Yontif, that is going to be the limitation where that owner can go vis-a-vis the tchum of Yontif, Tchum Shabbos, so too that coal is going to be limited on Yontif. V'shal heves, however, if you have a flame, in other words, somebody came to somebody else and said, let me light my flame based on your flame, so A takes flame from B, A is not limited to the tchum that applied to B's flame, because v'shalheves b'chol makom, v'shalheves, a flame can be brought anywhere. It's a new flame each time you light. So even though there are conflicting tchumim, each person who receives that flame can bring it wherever his tchum goes, even though the original quote-unquote owner of that flame had a different tchum and would have been limited, unable to go into the tchum of the next person. Next, kacheles shel hekdes, if now we have a coal, but it's a coal that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash, that's Hekdesh. So if somebody used that for a personal use, not for a Beis HaMikdash, use Mo'alin Ba, that is violating the Isser of Mi'ila, that is trespass against the assets owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, the person has to repay, he has to bring a korban for the Mi'ila, etc. Vishal Heves, however, if the person uses a flame that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Nehanin, you really, on a derabanan level, are prohibited from having hana, but that's not a deoraisa. Velo mo'alin, and there is also no iser mi'ila when it comes to a flame, because a flame does not have substance. Continuing, hamotzi gachelet lirshus harabim, somebody who takes a coal out, this is the third halacha, to rishus harabim, carrying of a coal on Shabbos, or Yontif would be permitted, so we're really talking about Shabbos, Yontif as long as you're permitted to carry for the permitted purpose. So we'll talk about Shabbos, hamotzi gachelet lirshus harabim, if somebody carries out a coal on Shabbos into a public area, chayav, that is an iser d'oraisa of carrying, because that is carrying an item on Shabbos, and it's prohibited to carry from a rishus hayachid to rishus harabim, an inner rishus harabim. However, if somebody would effectively carry a flame, v'shalheves, for example, if you have a flame in a rishus hayachid and you push it out, you blow it out into a rishus harabim, pater, that is not going to be violation of the iser de'oraisa of carrying, because again, the flame has no substance. Now we get on to a different halacha, bor shel yachid. If we have literally a well that's owned by an individual, in other words, the water that you draw from the well, that well is owned by an individual. How about that water? What limitations does it have vis-a-vis the tchum Shabbos, tchum yontif, kiragle hayachid? It is limited to the tchum of the person who owns that well. V'shal anshe osayir, and if you have a well in a city, it is going to be karagli anshe osayir. It's going to be limited to the tchum of that city. In other words, 2,000 amos surrounding that city would be the limit. If somebody has a further tchum, he would not be permitted to take it to his tchum, because that water is owned by the people of the city. Vishal ole bavel, and the people, and bore a water well that is shal ole bavel. This is a well that was dug to service Klal Yisrael, literally the people who were coming from Bavel, as they were ole laregel, but it was there for Klal Yisrael to use as a whole. That mayim is considered hefker, it's considered ownerless, keragle hamimale, it is based on the feet, literally the tchum of the person who fills it, because that water is ownerless. Whoever fills from it, draws the water from that type of well, it will take on that person's limitations when it comes to his tchum. Mishnevav, Mishayu Peirosa Biracheris, if we have somebody, we'll call him A, and his fruits are in a different city, and that city happens to be outside of his tchum. For example, he has a tchum by default of 2,000 amos, and that city is 3,000 amos away from him, and that fruit then is 3,000 amos away from him. The ervu b'nei osa ha'ir lahavi etzlo peirosav. So he, A, cannot go get his fruit because they're outside of his tchum, but what the people of city B did is they made an eruv, in other words, an Eruv in his direction, so they could bring his fruit all the way to him. The Mishnah says, lo yaviyu lo, they're not permitted to bring him that fruit, because that fruit goes after his tchum, not after their tchum. And because that fruit is outside of his tchum, they, even though they made for themselves a tchum, that it goes all the way to him, they are not permitted to bring his fruit all the way to him, because they are outside of A's tchum. Vim erafu, however, if A made the eruv in the direction of his fruit, and now the fruit is included in his eruv, because he's extended it, now he can go the full 3,000 amos to get his fruit. He set up that eruv tchumim before yantiv, peirosav kamo, the fruit is like him. In other words, he is permitted to go and get his fruit. And in addition, if they also made an Erev Tchumim in his direction, they are permitted then to bring him his fruit as well. Mishnah Zayin, Misha Zimen Etzlo Orchim, somebody who invited guests, and those guests are outside his Tchum. So we'll call the Bala Bayis, the inviter, A, and we'll call the guests B. And B extended their tchum to be able to come to A, but A has a more limited tchum. So Misha Zimen Etzlo Orchim, A invited B, or a group of bees over on Yantif, lo yalichu biadamanos. When they go home, they are not permitted to take with them a doggy bag, leftover food that A has given them, Elaim kein zika lahem minoseihem erev yontav, unless A has given them ownership, he has transferred ownership to them of that food that they will be taking home with them before yontav. What's going on here is the same concept that we've seen before. Wherever A is, that's where his food also is limited to. So the food of A is limited to where A is limited to, his tchum, and the B's would be taking the food outside of that tchum based on their own extended tchum. Accordingly, A would have to give possession to them, ownership, legal ownership of the food before Yom Tov. The way that's done is you get a C. Anyone else can, almost anyone else can do it. You get a third party and you say, will you take ownership of this on behalf of B, and B will be taking it tomorrow, and that third party C can do what's called zachin la'adam shlobefanav. He can take a, he's making a schus, he's taking possession, that third party is taking a possession on behalf of B. It's only for B's benefit. You don't even need B's consent to such a transaction, and effectively via C, ownership is transferred to B. So then on Yontif, B is permitted to take that food back with him, and it is based on B's tchum from before Yontif. Continuing to conclude the Mishnah, the Perek, and the Masechta, a mashkin v'shochti mes hamidbarios, it's not permitted to either feed or to shech. This is talking on Yontif, animals that are categorized as midbarios. Midbarios is from the word midbar, which means those who are in the desert. We'll define exactly what this means in a little bit. Of al mashkin v'shochtin et habaisos, but it is permitted to give food to and also shech on Yontif those that are from the word house. In other words, these are the domesticated ones, the bais. In other words, what's the difference between those? What's categorized as each? Elu and habaisos, which are those that are considered in the house, domesticated, that they are available to us and not muksa to us on Yontif, so that we should feed them and we can shech them. Halonos bayir, the ones that typically sleep in the city. In other words, these are the animals that we see at night. They are around, and accordingly, our mind is on them, so they are not muksa to us coming into Yontif, because we would be thinking maybe we'll be eating them on Yontif. On the other hand, midbarios, those that are categorized as midbarios, literally, they're in the midbar, but it means animals that roam around. Halanos ba'afar, they sleep out in the pasture. We don't necessarily see them every night. They come in occasionally. Those animals that more sleep out in the pasture, in the field outside the city limits, our minds are not on them, and accordingly they are considered muksa on Yontif. We cannot feed them, we can also not shech them for our use on Yontif.